The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Like a Rolling Stone, it turns 60 today. It was released on the 20th of July in 1965, and it shattered expectations of what a rock song could be, and it also changed the face of popular music forever. Well, to talk about its legacy and the enduring love of Bob Dylan, I'm joined now by Screen Times' John Fardy. John, you're very welcome.
Hi, Mandy.
John, good to talk to you. That song itself, when you listen to it now, it's timeless, but it's also of its time. Can you tell us a little bit about the song, what it's about, and what made it so enduring?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hammer of a song. It really is. As you said, Rolling Stone. I mean, these things are a bit spurious. What's the greatest song of all time? But they named it as the greatest song of all time. And it's maybe kind of hard to argue with the fact. So this was 1965. Dylan, you know, was already huge, you know, with albums like Bringing It All Back Home, Freewheeling Bob Dylan, and had massive hits with like Tambourine Man and The Times They Are Changing, and had become, you know, maybe one of the most recognizable cultural figures in the world. Then there had been the whole trip to the UK and, you know, going electric and rumors of all that. And he was a bit tired from who he was at the time. And in a way, this song is the linchpin to who he would become. He had 20 pages of, he wasn't even sure if it was a song or a novel or something. And by his own admission, it was kind of vomit on a page, which is a very Dylan-esque way of describing what he's working on. And it was kind of just this kind of revenge piece that he didn't think was going to go anywhere. And then he kind of sat down on a piano and started to sculpt it into a kind of song. And there's great debate about who it's about, what it's about. I mean, if you had to call it, like, you know, you were doing an investigation, the most likely scenario is that there's this lady called Edie Sedgwick. There's a movie made about her called Factory Girl, and she was part of Andy Warhol's factory, which was also a hugely significant cultural thing at the time in New York, where he was making this avant-garde art and all. And, you know, Miss Lonely, it seems that he could well be singing about her, and that she's kind of fallen out of favor with Warhol and people like that, and she's a Rolling Stone. Now, that's one interpretation of it. Good luck trying to get an answer from Dylan about it, because, you know, he said all sorts of things about it and nothing about it, and in a way hates that people like me get obsessed about what it's actually about. But in a way, it's about, I suppose, the 60s, maybe. And if you had to pick a poster song for, you know, what the 60s was about in a way, maybe that's it. Like a Rolling Stone, no direction home, you know, rolling along by yourself. And, you know, if you take Oasis at the moment, the biggest song in these stadiums that they're playing is Don't Look Back in Anger. And, you know, what's that about? It's about maybe the Gallagher's childhood, but it's probably about nothing as well, because, you know, Liam and Noel have said as much. So in a way, these songs, their meaning becomes kind of, we all own it or something. And what Dylan had in mind is secondary to what it's become. Even like U2's One, in a way, you know, what's that about anymore? It has these layers of meaning now because it's been so long in the world. And as you point out, this song has now been 60 years in the world. That's a very long answer to a very short question. Sorry.
And it's no problem. That's what you're here for, John. That's right. The interpretation of the songs is subjective, really, I suppose. So it can mean different things to different people. And there's a theme in Bob Dylan's songs like that. As you say, he wouldn't like people like you or I trying to decipher or figure out what he meant at the time. But what is interesting is the endurance of the songs and his influence on music, I guess. And he has influenced so many bands, so many singers have been inspired by him. And it's interesting that film that was recently out with Timothy Chalamet, I think, in it.
Yeah.
This song is actually back in the charts again. So it can revive itself, as so many of his songs can.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the cynical take on that movie was that was really just a jukebox musical for Dylan's catalogue to make a whole load of money on Spotify. I mean, I think that's maybe overstating it slightly. That film, you know, it's very good. I mean, I, from a movie point of view, was not disappointed, but we were led to believe that this was going to be the biopic to end all biopics, and it was going to, James Mangold had reinvented the wheel. He hadn't. It's a straight ahead biopic. It's a very good one. And Chalamet does a very good interpretation of Dylan and that whole time where people were calling him Judas because he picked up an electrical guitar, you know. But it is a decent movie, but it's not the be all and end all.
No, it isn't. But it's probably, you know, the better one of the recent biopics that were out. Anyway, let's not get into films because that's your day job.
Indeed.
So as a songwriter, John, what are the other songs that you think are standout ones from Bob Dylan, or maybe your own personal favourites, or maybe somebody who doesn't know a lot of Dylan songs should check out?
Yeah, I mean, it's how long's a piece of string?
There are
so many. And the thing you have to, and I will answer this in a second, but he's been doing this for so long now. If you think about it, since the early 60s, and here we are in 2025, right? This is like 10 careers in pop music, if you know what I mean. Like, he contains, to quote his own song and to quote Walt Whitman, he contains multitudes. So there are so many. But, you know, if an alien fell from heaven, you have to pick something from the 60s. And as much as I love like a Rolling Stone, there's a song from the previous album, Gates of Eden, which, you know, if you want to figure out what Dylan was all about in the 60s, to me, that's the one. Subterranean Homesick Blues is very hard to argue. But when you get to the 70s, you know, there's this kind of narrative that Dylan lost it a bit. And he did at times, and certainly in the 80s. But my favorite Bob Dylan album of all time is Blood on the Tracks. Now, this is a really pretentious thing to say, but there's a song called Tangled Up in Blue. Mm. And it's like, that's the limit of songwriting. I'm not sure if there's ever been as complete a song ever written, because in a way, that song is kind of like an abstract painting. It begins with this guy lying in bed thinking about a woman. And then suddenly he's working on a fishing boat outside Delacroix, and then it moves to him in Montague Street. And you're like, the first time you hear it, you're like, what the hell is this? Is this some kind of, you know, some teenage poem that a 15-year-old would write in a bedsit spewing out? But then you stand back and you look at it, and it's like someone's life, maybe his, through the ages, contained in one 5-minute song. So to me, Tangled Up in Blue is maybe his greatest song. But then, like, you get to the 90s and he did it all again with Time Out of Mind, which is just this amazing album that he could do reasonably later in life. And, you know, people think about Adele with To Make You Feel My Love. That's actually a Dylan song from that album. And, you know, Adele has a beautiful voice. Dylan doesn't have a beautiful voice. He's a great vocalist, though. And his song, To Make You Feel My Love, the bruised magnificence of that when he's just at a piano kind of crying from the heart is just gorgeous. So I think that's four I referenced.
Yes,
but if you listen to the four of those today, you could do a lot worse.
You've also given us quite a scary insight into your own mind through going through your interpretation of those. But you're right, like the cover versions that are done. I remember being at it was at some kind of trade mission abroad, and Dervish, the Sligo band, sang Boots of Spanish Leather, and also Ramona, Sinead Lohan from Kildare's interpretation of Ramona. They can be all very different, all unique, lots better singers than him doing it, which brings me to my last question for you, which is about his performance. You'll be going along, no doubt, to the concert in November. I've been to one. It's not a great experience, John, though.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your point of view, you know, and I get that. So I remember, not to bore you, but the first time I saw him was in Toronto in like 2001, and I've never gotten to see him. And I was, you know, I was just feeling this is the greatest day of my life. It was by a lake and I couldn't wait. And this guy came on stage, and it's like there was a wino impersonator of Bob Dylan on the stage. It was kind of bizarre, and he could have been anywhere. He could have been in Finland. You know, Tangled Up in Blue, which I mentioned, it was about four verses in, I realized what he was singing. Tangled Up in Blue. Like, he doesn't do it for the crowd.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
So if you're going along this November, you know, don't scream out, sing Tambourine Man, Bob, because that's not going to happen.
No.
So there's two schools of thought on that. Like, is he following his own muse and he gets to do what he wants, or should he be paying back a little and giving people a few hits along the way? Like, I always sneak Billy Joel into every conversation, but I've been watching this new documentary about him, and he said, you know, he did three shows in his entire career where he didn't do Piano Man, and he just felt this isn't fair because people want to hear Piano Man. Dylan has None of that.
No.
I mean, he will go through entire shows and not play any hits. But on the side of the Angels, you know, there is something. I saw him 3 Novembers ago in the Three Arena on the same never-ending tour. And there is a sense of, okay, this guy's voice isn't great. I don't recognize half of these songs. I'm in a pretty small venue with Bob Dylan.
It's not the worst place to be in the world.
Yeah, no, indeed.
John, listen, we do hope you enjoy the concert in November. But for now, thank you very much for taking the time to join us and take us through all that this morning. That was John Fardy from Screen Time here in News Talk.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.